ready.
From the logo, he launches.
Aim.
Good if it goes.
Good!
Bullseye.
She'll take it and she'll make it.
This is Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
Wants to drive in. That's a big shot. Fail and one.
On today's show, you'll hear from men's basketball head coach Amir Abdur-Rahim.
All right, listen to me now.
Now, your Bullseye hosts, Derek Sharp, Kaylee Cottrell, and Joey Johnston.
And welcome to a special version of Bullseye, a show that originally wasn't on the schedule. And I don't know, things just keep happening with men's basketball. We keep coming up with impromptu reasons to do the show. And I think what's happening lately with this team is a pretty good reason. On this show, you're going to hear from Amir Abdur-Rahim. He'll join us in just a little bit, as will Vice President of Athletics Michael Kelly. They've got a lot of good things to discuss with just the men's basketball team. And as I welcome in Kaylee Cottrell and Joey Johnston, Joey, you've got to be along for the ride, not just for this, but a lot of past seasons with Bulls, so you can really appreciate more than most how special this is. Does it continue to amaze you somewhat, though?
I know.
Sorry, could you repeat that? No. what a wild ride, and you tend to put the fatigue aside.
Right.
This is pretty crazy stuff. I love March Madness, always have, independent of who's in it, just the whole concept of the tournament. I love when your team is in it, it's so exciting. And to see it happen on this campus with this group of guys, with these fans coming out, three straight sellouts, goodness, how could you want anything more? It's just, we're just living a dream right now.
The dream that never includes losses in the dream. By the way, he's yawning not because of my first question, just because this was a late night for everybody. We got home, 2:50 in the a.m. with women's basketball, and on fumes, whatever you want to call it, the energy is not going to prevent us from doing anything. Now, as far as the game last night, making it 15 in a row, which is longest in the country as far as wins in a row, you mentioned the sellout crowd. But continually, when it gets to a point where you think, okay, will this be when the other team catches fire? Will this be the game where the Bulls just underperform a little bit? Is there going to be a letdown with another great crowd? Nope, nope, and nope.
Yeah, and Tulane was up to the task. I mean, Jalen Forbes was unstoppable for a time there for Tulane. But it got to 69-67, I believe it was, with 6 minutes to go. USF closes it out, 16-5 run. Mm. They just have a way of just doing that. And I use the analogy of a boa constrictor where, you know, it gets around you, and then before long, I'm stuck here, I got a problem. And that's what other teams have. They just kind of, USF just snuffs the life out of these other teams in the second half.
Well, that was especially the case in Charlotte, and I'll talk to Coach about this, but I just thought that was the most impressive thing. Because frankly, you get ranked for the first time, and now you're worried about the letdown. And you knew it was going to be a competitive game, but you look at the final score, and they ended up destroying them. And you were there. Talk about the environment that they did it in.
It was a really good environment. They had good student section in each end zone, very distracting. They were up for it when Charlotte was making its runs. The crowd was alive. I know Jim Lighthall and I on the radio, we had to speak up. It was getting loud in there. But again, it just seemed like every time Charlotte made its run, USF had an answer or had a way to snuff it out. And I listened to the coach afterwards for Charlotte, and he just kind of said, USF's better. They're just a really good team with a lot of good parts, and they just played well. And when they play well, they're tough to beat. He gave a lot of respect to the Bulls, justifiably so, because very important game for Charlotte. They brought all they could, but it just wasn't enough. USF was better.
To that point, I talked to Coach after the game last night and asked him, I said, this is a really important time of year for basketball. How do you keep the stamina up? And he said, it's just taking care of our guys mentally and physically. You know, their resolve will take them through, but if we can take care of them mentally and physically, then there's no stopping them.
After the Tulane game, you're looking around, there's a lot to absorb, and you're not quite sure what you're even seeing. It happens fast.
And, of course.
But I did see Charlie Bradley. I did see Radenko Dobros kind of taking it in. And that was a sweet, sweet sight to see those guys, all the blood, sweat, and tears they put into this program, for them to have a moment to enjoy like that.
A lot of people taking it in too, because another sellout, the fans stayed for that celebration too.
It was crazy.
Everyone was enjoying it. The confetti, when the confetti popped, I'm not gonna lie, like I teared up a little bit.
I didn't know it was coming. That was a big surprise. I didn't know it was coming.
Talk to you about that because I got to really enjoy listening to the post-game show, not when it happened, but back this morning when I woke up and on 4 hours sleep. And happy to do so.
Of course you are.
And it was neat to hear you and Jim Lighthall both respond to, oh, they are, they're going to cut down the nets, aren't they? How cool is that? And I, of course, I had to think, were they going to do this win or lose? Because it would have been a little awkward after a loss, but we haven't had to worry about a loss in a couple months.
But, yeah, it was, we were locked into the game. And honestly, you know, you go through a 15-game winning streak, and you know you're going to lose at some point. You just are, and
yes. There's
been several checkpoints in this thing where is today the day? And I just, you know, we're playing for the first time on this court as a ranked team ever. This Tulane team is much better than its record. They've got dangerous offense, and they came out of the gate storming and up. So I'm like, we're kind of locked into this game. Like we're not worried, but we're kind of intensely watching this and weren't really thinking about what was going to happen after the game. It was like, oh my gosh, there's a ladder and scissors and nets and confetti and everybody's still staying here. This is pretty cool.
He came equipped with those scissors too. I was sidelining the game and I was prepped for my post-game interview with him, waiting with the cameraman and the broadcast, and he went straight for the scissors first, and he came over to me, he looked at my own and showed just chopping the scissors. He's like, I'm ready.
Well, I don't know who the curator is on our staff, but I don't know if you saw the latest picture of the Louvre. With now, it's got the nets.
Full exhibit now.
Yes.
Full exhibit.
Yeah. The poor Mona Lisa. It's in the basement now.
It's March, Mona.
Yeah.
You can get give that ambivalent face in April. Right now, it's March Madness, or as my wife, not a basketball fan, calls it March Sadness.
March Sadness. I've heard that before, actually, because March Madness, sometimes you're gone a lot, and March Sadness for people in the family. Yeah, definitely.
And then when I'm home all June and July, it becomes June and July Sadness, but that's a whole different story. So we will talk about what's next for the Bulls, and the regular season's not over, by the way, in our final segment, where we'll also set up what's happening with women's basketball. The reason I got in so late or early, the way you look at it, is because they were beating SMU in overtime to wrap up the regular season and get the fifth seed for the conference tournament, which begins this weekend in Fort Worth and crosses over with the men. So it's going to be a fun time in Dickey's Arena. One more game for the men this Saturday at Tulsa before that. Well, we got a lot to come on this show, but you're going to enjoy these conversations, I have a feeling, with the head coach and vice president of athletics here at South Florida. Stay tuned.
They're around the American Conference trophy. They will cut down the nets here at the Yuengling Center.
What a scene.
And I remember Amir Abdul-Rahim's opening press conference when he pointed to Michael Kelly and said, are you afraid of heights? Because I'm going to have you up on that ladder cutting down those nets one day. I don't know if any of us thought it was going to be less than a year later.
You found the all-new South Florida Coaches Show on the radio. Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
Head coach joins us now, Amir Abdul-Rahim. Derek Sharp here with Joey Johnson. And it's so funny, as we're taping this the day after the latest incredible crowd and everything that's involved with the Bulls winning their 15th in a row, longest winning streak in the country right now, and keep on going with it. I got home late from the women's basketball game, and apparently I think we got to bed at the same time because you got to celebrate at the Yuengling Center. Your night kept on going.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. Our AD Michael Kelly, Lee Butler, our entire marketing and communications team, everybody, they did such a great job of making last night memorable. Mm-hmm. It was going to be memorable because the win, and you get to celebrate in front of your crowd, but you know, then they just had everything ready to go. Mm. They had the ladder, I had the scissors, and I'll tell that story later.
Yes.
But the confetti was ready, right? They had a little shoot set up. Mary Holt and her team of photographers, they had a little like studio prop set up in the practice gym where the families were able to go up there with the trophy. Take pictures. Man, it was just cool. Really cool. So it made it really memorable. But with three kids, it made it a long night, brother. And then it just started pouring. Like right as we're about to walk out to go home, like in Florida, it just starts pouring.
Yeah. Welcome to Florida.
Not much can rain on their parade these days.
No. So, Coach, when you have a night like you had last night, things move fast. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you don't have enough time to say hello to everybody you want to, and then you just kind of take your breath. What just happened? What exists in your mind? What snapshots from last night will you carry? What did you see that kind of you're going to remember?
I remember the guys, the players. They had the trophy, and it was like they had just shot the confetti off. And it's amazing how they can just get lost within the moment, and they had the trophy, and Silton's kind of rocking it back and forth, and the guys are rocking. Like, they'll remember that forever, you know. And I tell them all the time, man, guys, y'all think this is about the wins and no. Mm. It's about the bonds you create. Mm. You know, you guys have a group chat like I do with, man, it's probably 12 of us from my team with another 5 or 6 from the year after my senior year. We got a group chat on Facebook that we just, I mean, they're in it every day.
Wow.
You know, and it's a group of probably 7 or 8 of us from my senior year. We keep a group chat, you know, on our phones. And that's what it's about. It's those bonds. And now you get to ask each other, man, how your kids doing? You know, man, how your wife doing? That's what it's about.
They're going to have some stories to tell, even though there's more to come this season. No doubt. I'm glad you told me that Selt knew what he was doing, because I thought he was going to like do it like a bowling ball for a second there when he was rocking it. But he knows how to handle a trophy, which is important. I feel like we should rewind a little bit before cutting the nets down and the crowd, because last time we talked to you, it was after the SMU game, and you had still stuff to happen. And you got ranked for the first time in school history. And at that time, you want to talk about being the target and not the arrow. Mm-hmm. Your next game is at Charlotte. And I've seen it happen a lot on the women's side. Teams get ranked for the first time in a while. Guess what? They lose their next two games. You guys not only were the target and going to a place where they kind of remember the first meeting. So to win that game the way you did, I thought, might have been the most impressive win of the year.
Yeah, I thought so. Simply because our guys, they had every reason to relax, you know. But knowing them like I know them now, right? Knowing Selt McGill, knowing Chris Youngblood, I didn't have to say much. And I knew we were going to be fine. Wow. When we were coming back, came back Tuesday.
After SMU.
You know, came back Tuesday after SMU, and we got after it. Wednesday, got after it. And we challenged them because we gave up 27 offensive rebounds against SMU. So it was a back alley, bar fight in that deal, man. I'm just telling you, you know. And they didn't complain. They competed at such a high level that day in practice, like to the point where I was like, all right, shut it down.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't want anybody, you know, to get hurt or, you know. And, man, I knew we were going to be ready. And we rolled up in Charlotte, man, and them dudes, they were elite that day. They were elite.
You just mentioned, you know, knowing the guys like I know them now.
Yeah.
Obviously, from November to now, you've learned a lot about – what have you learned about – who you've got on this team, what the qualities they have, and what you love about them?
Man, I just know all of them come from great parents. That's what I know. Because you have to have a really solid foundation. And I believe you have to be raised on a certain set of principles and values to be able to, you know, start something and see it through without wavering. And as we said a number of times, they had every chance to waver a number of different times this season through adversity and success. They could have made it all about themselves, but they didn't. And so, again, when they came back into that practice Tuesday, and the first thing we did, we got a game or a drill we call circle rebounding. You know, it's one team on the inside, they're in a circle. That ball goes up and they got 5 dudes just diving at them. And they got to go hit, box out, and then we play a couple of trips. And, you know, most teams around this time of the year, they're looking like, man, why are we doing circle rebounding? Like, man, we're they complain a lot. These guys didn't complain. You know, they were hungry. You know, and they understood what had just happened to them. Because I said to them, I said, man, somebody getting 27 offensive rebounds on us, that speaks directly to our toughness. And I told you guys after Hofstra, nobody will ever question our toughness again. And we go out, and I think we out-rebound Charlotte by 12, I believe it was, something like that. And they responded.
You mentioned the hungry. I think that phrase usually goes with humble, and I want to focus on that for a second because you'll see it. You'll see teams that get a win, and they'll not just celebrate, but they'll make sure to, you know, be derogatory towards the other team or do something to rub it in, basically. You guys are not like that. Now, I know you can't just not celebrate a victory, and you guys are doing it the appropriate way, but not at the expense of the other team ever, and I think that is something that maybe people don't always notice.
No, definitely not, but I got an even better story for you. At Charlotte, we're in the huddle. It's about 5.5 minutes left, and it's still a ball game. We're up, I think we were up 11 at the time because they cut it from 17 to 11. And it's somewhere between 4.5, 5.5 left. And I'm talking, I'm drawing some stuff up, and I think it was Brandon Stroud stood up and said, "Fellas, humility, humility." And I looked at him like, "Man, who are you? You know? And from there, you know, Chris and then Selton, they just started chiming in. And I had just told somebody a couple day or so before, over the last 2.5, 3 weeks, the reason why we've been able to sustain this momentum and the consistency that we have, again, it's not hot. Hot is not 15 games in a row. Consistent is 15 games, right? And the reason why we've been able to do that is because over the last 2.5, 3 weeks, this has it shifted from a coach-driven program to a player-driven program to where they're holding each other accountable. I really don't have to say much. You know, I can pick my spots, which is what you want as a coach. Because if they ever get tired of your voice and they drown you out, it's over.
Right.
You're done. And so when Brandon did that and the rest of those guys chimed in and they knew winning that game at Charlotte, we clinched the top seed. You didn't see them running and jumping.
Exactly.
They got in line, shook hands, as Chris Youngblood said, "This is what we're supposed to do." All right, young pup.
Brandon nice. Stroud jumping to the top of my list of favorite players, but that list is always changing.
Yeah, so you meant the 15-game winning streak is hard to do. Some teams never do it.
No question.
You've done it a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
One thing that seems to be a characteristic in several of these games is wherever you are in the second half, and you've been way behind, and you've been in command, it seems like the second half you just sort of impose your will on the other team. And I know you go into halftime and change some things, but speak about you guys' ability to come out in the second half and take the game where it is and command it.
Again, I can't take credit for that, Joey. I think if you look deep and you paid attention, if you ever met Kathy Walker, Corey's mom, you see why his response and his resolve is the way it is. I've only been able to talk to Selton's father through Instagram, but just that interaction, you see why Selton's the way he is. I know Dupree and LaDonna Youngblood. And it's I know who that boy is. I know Derek Stroud and Christy Jones. So I know how Brandon's gonna respond. And then, you know, Stacy and Jeff Reed, Jaden's parents, I know them. So I'm not gonna sit here and take credit for that. It starts there. And as I said to all the parents in the recruiting process, you don't just get to drop them off. You know, I'm still need to call you because I'm gonna need you to push some buttons I can't push. It still takes a village. And so it shows that, but then it also shows the bond that these guys, the connection that they've created throughout this year to where they've started to trust. They started to trust each other a while ago, but they started to believe in each other at a high, high level. And when you start having that type of belief in one another, come on, man.
It's best.
Let's get back to cutting down the nets. I'll cut down the net later. That's a different thing. The nets.
I like that.
Thank you very much. Did you get a little conversation with Michael Kelly? And I'm sure he knew it was coming.
Of course I did. You know I did. I said, "Hey, you hadn't had any nosebleeds lately, have you? You okay?" I said, "You ready?" I said, "I told you the day was coming." And he just started smiling. Me and Lee Butler, we messed with him a little bit. But, no, it was great, you know, because, again, as I said on the show before, we want to be part of campus. We want to be part of the community. You know, just as much as this is great for our team, right, this group of guys, man, how selfish would we be if we didn't share you know, allow President Law to share in this experience, a USF alum. Charlie Bradley, who's sitting right there on that baseline every game. You know, Redinko, you know, Les and Pam Mumba, you know, who've been so gracious. You know, Joanne Nelson and David Goldstein, who've been so gracious. You know, like that, it's about them. You know, like we're, again, we're a byproduct of a lot of people putting in a lot of work, a lot of support over the years. And we just so happened to put it together at the right time. And we want everybody to share in this experience.
Well, as we ended up, we got to mention what's coming up next, right? Because it's not over yet. The ride's not over.
No, not over yet. We got the conference tournament and hopefully something after that. But the conference tournament at Fort Worth, which will be a heck of an event with all the teams in our league.
Man, as I said last night, I hate getting on my, I don't like getting on the soapbox or preaching a whole lot. But, you know,
ahead.
Man, I've said this before. You know, we play, think about it, November, December, January, February, March. You play 5 months. The season is 5 months, okay? And if you play in April, it's six, okay? And we plan on playing for 6 months. But when you think about this, if you're judging a team on a couple of losses in the first month of the season, well, you're basically telling these young men and young women, hey, your growth doesn't matter. Getting better doesn't matter. We're going to judge you on what you did in November and December, right? Like, what kind of message is that sending? Because, again, if somebody can show me where, whether the numbers they come up with or whatever, that we're not one of the best 68 teams in the country today, hey.
You are. Yeah. You are.
Can I ask one more question, Derek? The journey has been, you know, and basketball seasons are a journey with the ups and downs, and that's what makes them good. But we think about where the Bulls are now at 23-5. I think back to that trip to Hofstra and UMass, a cold, dark, northeastern night, landing in New York. Not a good result at Hofstra. Got blitzed. Got to go to UMass. You're talking to the guys in Springfield, Mass, in a hotel room, and apparently something started to change there.
Yeah.
What happened before that UMass game?
I just think, like, when I worked for Coach Crean, like, he just, you know, he had a lot of Creanisms, and I thought they were great, right? But, man, he could just be walking down the hall, you know, not talking to anybody in particular. All the assistants were in their offices, and he'd go, don't assume they know what they know. You know, don't assume. He'll just say, don't assume, right? And he'd always say
directed
that.
To who?
Whoever can hear it.
Yeah.
Don't assume,
yeah.
Right? And that is something that always stuck with me. So in that ballroom, you know, I didn't want to assume at all that they understood what it took to become a winning group. I didn't want to assume that they understood the habits that it would take, both on and off the court. And so what I focused on that day, if you remember, it was all about communication and connection, okay? And I just said to them, they had sat down before we started playing, and they had a set of goals, right? And I told them, you don't have to give them to me. You don't even have to talk to me about it, but put them somewhere you can see them. And they got a little whiteboard right outside the locker room. They wrote them up there. You could see it every day. And but they did this, guys, in September, October-ish, right? And so after, hey, Chris, when was the last time you guys talked about your goals? I'm talking about collectively as a group. When was the last time you talked about it? And they hadn't. And that was the perfect day. And you can tell, because with this group, you can always tell when they're not talking off the court, when they're not as intentional about their relationships. Because on the court, they won't talk. Like I know my team. If you walk into one of our practices in the first 10 to 20 minutes of practice, I'm telling you, like, I've had people walk in like, yo, y'all dudes communicate at an elite level. You know, some of it's by design, but nowadays it's them. And if it's too quiet, you'll hear, hey, man, our voices need to pick up. It's not me saying it anymore.
Wow.
And so that day in Springfield, Mass, hey, when was the last time you talked about your goals? Well, if you remember, that was coming off the Maine loss. We had already lost to Central Michigan. One of their goals were to be undefeated at home. Well, hey, that goes out of the window. You got to set a new one now, right? And that the new one they set was to be undefeated in conference at home. And it happened. The goal was met.
Good stuff.
So
yep.
And that's what that day was about, communication and connection. Because in order to trust one another and believe in one another, you got to communicate and you got to be connected. You have to be.
It's so awesome to see after that day, 2-4, 21-1 since, 5 losses. That's 1 per month based on your 5-month thing. And by the way, it's not a creanism, but you can't watch all the halftime shows. I saw him when they were talking about the AAC and he goes, oh, South Florida's already in my book. So you got him. You need a couple more on your side.
And you know what? Some people say, oh, he's biased. No, like,
he's true. Tell the truth.
It's real, you know? It's real. Like, because not only that, like, you think about it. Like, I'd never forget sitting in that press room in Sunrise after we beat Florida State. And I got the tweet. I told y'all I keep receipts, right?
Yes.
And I said, man, this is one of the better teams in the country. I guarantee you, you're not going to want to play them mid to late January, February. They're in the middle of the pack in the ACC, one of the best leagues in the country.
Right.
I'm going to go find that tweet, and I'm going to find that guy. There was a guy that laughed, like, what is he talking about? Hey, buddy, boom.
Boom. Yeah.
After the season. I'm going to stay focused on us right
yes.
now.
By the way, go Loyola, team the Bulls beat, and win that A-10 for us as well. We're doing enough winning here.
Yeah. Think about it. Yeah, like, Northern Iowa, like, they hadn't had with.
That's another one.
It's a good win.
It's a good win.
Central Michigan going to take the MAC, too, while we're at it.
Yeah. What are we talking about right now? Right, like so you want to judge us on you want to judge us on a couple of games in November and December.
You should be able to make up for it, which you kind of did.
I just think when you look, if you're studying growth, it's the right thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, I agree with Coach here. Thanks a lot, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Keep on winning.
Go Bulls.
Cut down more nets later on. Michael Kelly will join us next.
Coach Amir is exactly what we need here. He is the right person at the right time in not only USS history, the right time in the history of college sports and everything that's happening right now. So, Coach Amir, we're so excited that you're here.
You're afraid of heights? Because you're going to have to get up on that ladder one day to cut down those nets. Go Bulls.
Bullseye continues on Bulls Unlimited.
Pleasure now to be joined by the Vice President of Athletics, Michael Kelly, Derek Sharp with Kaylee Cottrell. And Michael, a lot happened as we're taping this on a Wednesday morning last night. But let's go back a few months real quick and just... Good hire, man. It's always good to get gratification that you made a pretty good selection. I know it wasn't just you. I actually heard about how Lee Butler behind the scenes was checking out Kennesaw State in their NCAA regional last year, and it all kind of came together. But I'm sure you saw something that you're seeing, you know, multifold now with Amir.
Well, what a great time it's been. What a great addition to our USF family and Team USF to have Amir and his entire staff that he ended up building obviously has provided tremendous results, and it's been a great thing. But when you think back to a year ago, I mean, I don't know if there's any D1 institution in the country that went through both a head football coaching change and a basketball one. So it was a rigorous process to deal with that. But boy, did we find some great stars here for Team USF and Alex Golish and Amir Abdur-Rahim.
Yeah, I realized that I could have had a double meaning when I said good hire, because the Golish was a good one too. Now, at the press conference, when Amir Abdur-Rahim was introduced, he ended pretty strong, saying that get ready to cut down the nets. And so to actually have that happen, speak about how it felt, how it all kind of came together that way, but also how you guys planned it, because you actually won the championship in Charlotte. What a great idea to have the actual ceremony with confetti at all after that big sellout home victory.
Well, it was a lot of fun. And when you think back even to the first interviews with Amir, back in the process a year ago, he spoke to connectedness all the time. He talked about how to connect with players himself, how the players connect with each other, and ultimately how does it extend to the student body, the campus community, to the Tampa Bay community. And those are things that he stressed in his press conference when he got hired, in the interview process, and it's proven true every step along the way. And it's been so endearing to see that kind of success and that common bond that you see that he and his staff and his players have made with everybody here. And when to carry that forward and think how fast, when he made his prophetic comment that this MK afraid of heights and I'm not.
Okay, good.
So that's good. But it was obviously, we fully jointly believe that that would happen, and it's already happened, and we look forward to many others. I remember Danny Ferry prophetically said one time, those aren't the Nets that we want, and we've got a lot more work to do both this year and into the future, so we're excited about it. As it relates to the celebration last night, it was extraordinary to see the packed Yuengling Center again, students sticking, or people actually sticking around for the ceremony. And again, it was to everyone involved, our event management, our marketing team, our basketball staff, the Yuengling Center staff, just put it together marvelously. I give a lot of credit to Lee Butler, who spent many years at the ACC office, basically running the ACC men's basketball championship. Right. So it's nice to kind of have one of the, you know, one of the best tournaments run by someone on our staff that, that has, cares deeply about basketball and brought that kind of, I think, professionalism and focus to our daily visions of both men's and women's basketball, which is a big part. So I kind of look back to not just the hiring of Amir, but to really making the decision to bring someone in Lee's capacity to focus exclusively on men's and women's basketball. Not exclusively, but a main daily focus to those two sports.
You talk about a packed Yuengling Center. A couple weeks ago, I did a feature on the SoFlo Rodeo. I got in there with them, felt the energy with them, was cheering with them. I mean, over 4,000 students, you know, and these three games, these sellouts for these three games. You know, our guys have played for over 30,000 people in those three games. You know, like, how exciting is that culture being built with the campus being so involved?
It's so awesome, and even for that SoFlo Rodeo to be started a little bit in its infancy last year, made some great strides, and now to see the leadership of that team take it to the next level this year to work hand-in-hand with both Coach Fernandez and Coach Abdur-Rahim and all the marketing staff. And it's just been great to see the fun things they've come up with on their own to make it organic and real. That's what's so special. And the crowds you've seen these last three games in particular have been what makes college basketball special.
Right.
I mean, there's big packed houses we hear in a pro town like Tampa where it's always fun to be at a sold-out Lightning game and a sold-out Bucks stadium. But there's something special about the college students and the spirit they bring and the fun and the unique organic celebrations that they bring is so, so fun. And feeling really unique in that, you know, even in my own personal situation, I was here as a USF employee 20 years ago, basically as Associate AD of External Affairs, when we did have a sellout game against Florida. That was pretty much the last time we did sell out.
Right.
And people like Mike Griffin, who's the vice chair of our Board of Trustees, was the student body president. Then Rob Higgins, who now runs our sports commission, was our operations guy. The three of us were out giving donuts out in Greenbergopolis with Seth, who was very engaged with us. So looking back, that was a cool milestone. 10 years before that, I was like one of the original members of what Wake Forest had, is they call it the Screaming Demons. I would have been a founding member of the Screaming Demons.
I can't picture you as a Screaming Demon, but I guess you were.
But thinking back to, just again, it's a, how do you get folks that want to come to every game, be a part of it, be a and man, but both the SoFlo Rodeo has taken off well beyond that. Those atmospheres these last month and a half at the Yuengling Center rivals really, truly any in the entire country, and it's just fun to watch.
We've seen them bring in that mechanical bull that we've seen on a few times too, so I know you've seen them all.
But now they got the inflatable bull wearing it in their pool and bringing it to the SoFlo Rodeo. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
You mentioned the behind-the-scenes staff, and it was something because this was after the women played on Saturday night and beat Tulane, and the men had wrapped things up in Charlotte, and they were coming home. And all of a sudden, I look over to the softball and the baseball stadium, and the big video boards in both already have the champions, the picture of the guys, and you have a tremendous showing, a turnout for them to arrive off the charter getting back. But speak to that part of it, how everything is just being turned up a notch that way. And then the other part of it, everyone being involved, whether they're actual students or probably driving and hearing about the basketball team coming back. What this has meant for the school in general, the enthusiasm, it just permeates everywhere.
It's tremendous. I mean, when you really think about it, and I say this, you know, respectfully and humbly, but when I was able to come here back here 5 years ago, there were a lot of things to identify that I'll just say it like under-resourced, and I don't mean that in a complaining way. It's just the reality. And when you think about that in terms of what we're providing our student athletes to succeed, facility improvements we needed to make, injection of dollars we needed to make into our staff to be able to have the types of support we need with everything from Bulls broadcasting to the marketing department to enhancing all of our staff to get up to the level where we envision ourselves to be amongst leaders of a D1 institution. And so we're not, you know, we keep pouring that into it. And when you see that plan come together and see teams being successful and then having the opportunity to take advantage of success opportunities like the one you just described, when you win championships, how do you have a chance to capitalize on that, make sure that gets blasted out everywhere? be able to have a ceremony planned for last night, be able to take advantage of national media opportunities for our coaches. All that takes coordination and planning by experts, subject matter experts in each of our positions at Team USF, and then working collaboratively to figure out, hey, how can we identify opportunities? Because while we're riding the train right now of specifically men's basketball today, thinking about all the collective success of USF athletics, the men's track championship, the bowl victory for men's football, all these things kind of come together, and it takes, I just want our fans to realize, wow, we do it out of a labor of love, and we love what we do and support our kids and our student athletes, but it takes coordination, it takes a village, truly,
right.
And again, it starts with the fans, of course, but it also takes a lot of great people thinking ahead of how can we tell the great story of USF athletics, and right now it's a great time to run with the Bulls.
You talk about, it takes a village, and when you think of the alignment of this university, I mean, the championship photo, we saw President Law and Board Chairman Will Weatherford in it with you and Coach and the team. How important is that alignment?
Great. I mean, it's all part of what we're talking about. When we look back at where we started a couple of years ago to where we needed to go, we knew where Bulls Nation wanted us to go. We knew where the president wanted us to go, and it just takes education and inclusion and resources to be able to do that, and then finding the right people to do the job and then supporting them to do the job, and that's all kind of believing the collective vision of Team USF, and that starts at the very top with the Board of Trustees. If you don't have that priority from the board that wants athletics to be a priority, you really can't ever have that success. You take that next level with having on the executive level with the president and her entire staff, cabinet, at least identifying ways that they can find ways that athletics can be enhanced. What can they do to help us on this journey? And again, I say this not just to the appreciation of the athletic department staff on how all they have come together to make this work. It really is a whole university village, to your point, Kaylee, that everything from people that are from student success and helping us succeed in the classroom to resources that help us with our nutrition and our health from USF Health and all these things, every little bit helps to a margin of victory. Better nutrition, better sleep, better medical care, better mental health opportunities, better promotion. All these things add up, and it takes us all to come together. And I hope everyone's seeing with these glimmers of success in recent years and certainly recent months that hopefully this is the tip of the iceberg. Let's keep feeding the engine and find ways to enjoy even, to Amir's point, even greater heights than this.
And we mentioned it on the radio podcast, and I want you to make the point as well here for people to see and hear, and that is it, the way things are coming together now, and as we'll move into football with the schedule being released, it can't help but make you think how it's going to be when there's an on-campus stadium.
Oh, you're exactly right. I was just thinking about walking over here to tape this episode with you from my office. Walking out of the building last night to kind of see the masses of 4,000-plus students walking into their cars or, more importantly, walking back to their dorm rooms felt so cool. And to think that that's a times three at minimum audience coming from our football stadium in a couple of years, the on-campus stadium, after a post game there on a Saturday, walking back, the hours before that, it's just going to be really, really cool. And we've talked about, it's important for athletics, it's important for football, the stadium will be important for lacrosse, all those things are important. But it's really, truly about what it's going to mean for this university to see the way that this community is already excited about this recent success with our sports. Put that on exponential levels and kind of see, man, it's an engagement opportunity for whether you're a specific athletics fan or just an alum or just a caring individual in Tampa Bay that knows the $6 billion impact that the University of South Florida makes on this community each and every year, that USF's important, we want to be behind it, and when they're doing well, this is a celebration for all of us. And I sense that already with these baby steps of success. Huh. So this stadium is going to be able to bring this engagement tool that just allows people to celebrate and be a part of USF day in and day out.
So that's a few years away, but we now know this upcoming season that we can officially plan for. And the schedule is there, and it's for everybody to see. It's not just there for the whole conference, but it's there for the Bulls in this first year with the 12-team playoff to actually start to think in terms. And maybe a few months ago this would have been crazy talk, but you back it up with what's happening with men's basketball, nothing's crazy at this point. But the opportunity is there for Alex Golish and the guys to do something this year.
Yeah, you truly have to believe, and that's what we've been doing over these last 5.5 years, to kind of believe in a vision that gets us to a certain point, right? And now you see the men, if we're going to talk specifically about football, to have made the investment into the locker room and office place renovations a couple of years ago, then to follow that up with an indoor performance facility. now to look ahead to what's going to happen in the operations building and ultimately the stadium. It all kind of comes together. And so when you have the, and now to your great point on the CFP, football is the only sport when you only have a four-team playoff to kind of point to. Like every one of our other sports, we're continuing to support well enough that our coach can go to the locker room at the preseason meeting and say, we can get to the national championships.
Yeah.
It was technically possible for football. We all know four teams out of 133 that play at this level, very, very difficult. Now, with a 12-team playoff and with the at least one slot being available to our group of conferences, if you will, Coach Golos can go in that locker room and say, you focus on winning the American, and we will have a legitimate chance at getting into that tournament. Is the guarantee? No. But the bottom line is that over the if applying these criteria to the future, the first 10 years of the CFP, the American champion would have achieved that goal 7 of those 10 times. So it's a very real possibility. We have the type of balanced schedule that provides great national opportunities out of conference. And then obviously we know the American's a very competitive conference, a tough one, but one that we expect to compete for next year and in the future. And now that means not just a cool goal to shoot for on a conference standpoint, but hey, we all want to have the opportunity to play in that CFP. And it was cool to maybe hope to get to the New Year's Six Bowl. That's a great celebration in its own right. But now with this new format change, to your point, going into the actual CFP tournament, if you will, is really, really cool.
Chance to play Alabama, host Miami, the full schedule obviously up at GoUSFBulls.com. More with Michael Kelly as we start to look at what else is going on around town. And right here on campus, the softball team on Monday ticked off a couple of cool milestones. Number 1,500 wins in program history and 1,100 for Ken Erickson. And you talk about schedule. They knocked it out with their pre-conference schedule, 16-5. And we're talking about some really impressive wins.
Really, absolutely. Ken does a great job year in and year out on that scheduling. We, again, I often say, how do you find ways to play to your strengths? And in a market like Tampa Bay, with the weather that we're blessed with in the winter months, he's masterfully found ways to host multiple tournaments that bring in some of the best teams in the country to play. So that gives us a great chance to improve our strength of schedule, gives us great chances to bolster our wins against prominent opponents and get us well-positioned as we head into conference play so that we know our RPI or whatever is a very similar to. So Ken, in this case, has a very similar scheduling philosophy to what Jose does on the women's side. So it all kind of pans out. But to have that all come together and have the longevity of Ken to have achieved his 1,100th victory and our 1,500th for the program as a whole, that's pretty cool. I thought it was really funny to see Alex open his press conference this week to say, man, I'm just hoping to get to 10. My man's got 1,100. But good point. I also just love that kind of just shows the respect and the appreciation I really feel out of our current roster of head coaches right now. We are believing in Team USF. I give Ken Erickson credit for actually terming what I often use as Team USF because of the obvious relation to him being on the Olympic coach and being Team USA, because he said, hey, when we walk into that Olympic stadium for the opening ceremonies, I'm just walking in with the softball team. I'm walking in with every Olympian. And that's kind of the mindset we're trying to bring here to USF when we walk in together and we celebrate these recent championships together. And again, we expect and hope and the vision of game plan is how do we keep this moving forward for all of our sports to have the kind of level of success that our fans want. And certainly, most importantly, we want to give every opportunity for our student athletes to succeed and armed to challenge for those championships.
Beautiful.
I mean, and also looking at this recent track and field conference title, I mean, what a prime time to support the Bulls right now, right?
Literally, it's a great time to run with the Bulls in that case. And I don't think you were kind to talk about the most recent hires in terms of, Coach Golos and Coach Abdur-Rahim. But if you kind of look back, some coaches have been blessed to bring here in recent years. I mean, you kind of start really with Eric Jenkins.
That was a good one, too.
He was the first one we were able to bring here when I got here. And, wow, he's just done a tremendous job. I mean, we've had some great moments and some great accomplishments in our men's and women's track program in the past. But to see the evolution of what he's done in his tenure here is just nothing short of remarkable. To win the men's indoor, to be in third in the women's side, to really be looking forward to this outdoor season to try to win another championship today. But it doesn't stop there. Obviously, you talk about Jalene Shepherdson being an actual former Bull as a player, going on and winning division titles, showing great progress
season
there. And obviously, we have all the confidence in the world about what we expect from Mindy McCord on the lacrosse side and Pri on the beach volleyball side. So great, great roster, top to bottom of head coaches. And that's the key. They are the CEOs of their respective teams. We all rely on what they tell us they need to do it. it's our job to go do everything we can to try to provide that to help them be successful.
And I feel be remiss because this is our chance to talk to you about this. Another couple members of your roster that are pretty good too, Erica Brennan and Steve Bradley, what they've got going on, women and men both ranked very highly, knocking off championships too, individually and as teams.
Yeah, keeping the momentum going. They've all had great both fall seasons and early spring seasons, either victories or really close finishes. Highly ranked, very well positioned for NCAA championship play as well, and that's their expectation and their goal. We've worked very hard and collaboratively to continue to make improvements to their facility with the support of donors and the university. That's amazing right now. I mean, think about it. Already had a really nice golf center that they could train at, but now to kind of be able to use, there's a par three, a par four, and a par five hole surrounding them, makes their practice, daily practice for our guys and ladies that much more convenient. So that's pretty special. We want to keep them at the very top to keep them challenging for national championships as well.
They just smashed, the women's team smashed their best 54-hole score by 16 in an event. Jake Peacock got a win for the guys individually as they finished second out of 22. So they're rolling this spring. Everything's rolling right now.
Just think about the evolution of that. I remember my first week when I got the job, we were calling, introduced myself and getting to know all of our coaches, and Erica was relatively new then. And I remember saying, tell me about your program, what do we need to do, and where will we go? Mm. And she says, we're going to go to the top, we're going to be a perennial, you know, NCAA caliber team. At the time, we were ranked 165, right? And so to now see her over these couple of years to get that up to a top 30 team right now and well-positioned in our conference is, again, it just shows the evolution. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of involvement from many, many people, but it starts with a vision from those coaches, and that's why I keep coming back to the coaches that we have on Team USF, or all the CEOs of their roster, of their program, and how can we all as fans and the administration pour into that to kind of believe in their vision to ultimately lead to success. And then that success becomes contagious and we keep rolling.
Well, I don't know what their equivalent is to cutting down the nets, maybe grabbing the flagstick and trying to hide it in the van, whatever, but they've got a chance to do that. Both teams are hosting the conference. That's still a ways away. As we wrap up, on to Fort Worth, and I guess if you have to get up on a ladder again, you will, right?
Absolutely. Twice. I'm going to get there Sunday to watch our first women's game, and if we can go ahead and kind of take the sweep of Fort Worth, that would be the goal and the dream. That would be a fantastic week. But we know the women, position five, like you said, in the five-seed spot, certainly a very winnable tournament, one that's going to be a huge challenge. When you think about it, I think it's what eight of our eight losses in conference, we were winning in the fourth quarter in seven of them.
Correct.
So we know we can do it. We got to close out and kind of make it happen. And then obviously, we couldn't be better positioned for success than what the men are. So if you're heading to Fort Worth, let's cheer loud. Let's have the best support group out there. I think we can do that. I think we have the best fan base. If we even with the Texas-based teams, I think our fans can make the best noise out there at Dickey's Arena. So I hope that's the case. Obviously, there's a chance still to buy season tickets, a deposit for men's basketball. For next year's season already, because many people are doing that, and we encourage you to do that. Everyone that asked me for tickets the last three games, make sure that you have the ability to go ahead and get that deposit so you already have your seats next year and be ready to go.
You won't Solid. Have to do that. I'm sure you're getting hit up left and right.
No, get your own. On the football side, again, what a great schedule. We know we've got a challenging conference schedule coming up. We've got the University of Miami coming into play, which is always a big opportunity for our fans to get excited. And, so let's get those tickets. We are still in all these sports, one of the best entertainment values in all Tampa Bay sports by far. And so bring the family out, bring your friends out, and be a part of it. And as it relates to football, we always keep stressing that, again, we're getting ready to move into the Song Campus Stadium in 2027. And the only way to guarantee your seats there is to make sure you have season tickets now today. And so if you want to be a part of the future one, let's be a part of the current one. And get your tickets today.
It's funny you say that because the facilities are great. We were calling the softball doubleheader against Stetson. Baseball wasn't playing, but you had some Stetson fans like checking out the baseball stadium, looking around and all. We've got special here on many, many fronts. Now, I can tell you from doing women's basketball play-by-play in Fort Worth, the out-of-state teams usually don't travel. In other words, if you still time to get there, show up in Fort Worth. It is going to make a big difference. But we feel the support back home all over Bulls Nation, and we really appreciate you taking the time, Michael, to talk about it. We'll wrap things up. We'll tell you about that women's basketball conference schedule here on Bullseye. Stay tuned.
The South Florida Bulls have delivered in front of a crowd of 10,354. It's almost inconceivable what we have seen this season. But let the magic carpet ride continue, and we will ride this all the way to Phoenix if we have to.
Incredible. We're talking about 15 straight wins, a 23-5 record, a number 24 ranking in the polls. What a ride we've been on.
You're listening to Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
Well, that was enjoyable. A lot of fun things that Michael and Amir had to say. I got to say my favorite was definitely Brandon Stroud stopping the huddle just to say, hey, guys, humility. It's great to be taken inside the huddle no matter what it is, but that really is an insight to this team.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, Chris Youngblood is a guy that knows all these concepts. He's the leader. You expect him to say things like that. But when you hear the stories of others saying it and the coach just watching, it's pretty cool. I mean, he's right. When players do that, that's when you start shooting up the ladder. Literally. They did shoot up the ladder last
nice
night.
They did.
To cut down nets.
Usually I'm the guy that gets the puns right away, but you did. Very good. Chris Youngblood probably should throw in 29 points, career high.
Yeah, not bad.
Incredible. And I'm buddies with the play-by-play guy for Tulane, and I'm like, yay, this guy is unreal, is the word I use, and he continues to show it. So they wrap up the regular season. They're going to be the number one seed. They'll play their first game 2 days before Selection Sunday. That's a Friday game at Fort Worth. The women's basketball team, there was a lot of stuff that could have happened on the last night of the regular season. They could have been the fourth seed. They could have been the 10th seed. They got the fifth seed, and that was big because thrilling overtime victory. So with that, they get to take on the winner of the 12-13 game. That's FAU-Wichita State. So their first game will be this Sunday at 3 o'clock. If you can't make it to Fort Worth, we'll have it on the radio on Bulls Unlimited. If they win then, they'll play around the same time in the quarterfinals on Monday against UTSA. And I'm telling you, Jose Fernandez's team has what it takes to make a run. That is going to be a wild event. And then, conference tournament. There's not been prolonged stays for the Bulls in Fort Worth. I think maybe once against Temple they got a win, but this kind of has a different vibe going
on. It does, and I'll tell my story. I've told it to a million people. I know I've told it to you. I don't know if I told it to Kaylee. Mm-hmm. There was a time when I worked for the Tampa Tribune covering the Bulls in St. Louis for the conference tournament. They played the first game of the day. I didn't unpack. I didn't check into the hotel. Right. I was back home that night.
Wow.
So I've had my one and dones for sure. We're hoping for a nice long stay this time, and I think this team is the one to do it for us. But, you're right. Conference tournaments haven't been especially kind, but this it would be really sweet to stay a long time and to see the nets cut down one more time.
I'm packing for 6 days, by the way, 6 days of Fort Worth, if you're watching Jose. So, you know, make me wear all my running clothes and all that stuff. They know I like to run. Fort Worth, great running trail, by the way.
Oh,
now,
nice.
All that's happening right now, spring football started on Tuesday
spring
as well.
Football is back.
I know you spoke to some new members of the coaching staff, so we're going to have those on the show down the line. But any observations as that sport is not going anywhere either, and that's a good thing.
I got to sit down with our new cornerbacks coach, DVD, DeMarcus Van Dyke, and Jack Taylor with our tight ends, and Micah James with our running backs, and what good leaders we have. I'll tell you that. They were a treat to talk to. Immaculate vibes. Vibes are so great.
Speaking of leaders, how's the quarterback looking?
Bigger.
Big.
We did have a practice on Tuesday and some interviews afterwards, and when he walked in, it was like, Byram, is that you?
Yeah.
He's a big guy. Yeah. He was playing at about 205 last year. He says he's up to 220. He's been hitting the weights. He's always been a tall guy, but he is really filling out in the chest. He is maturing.
Nice.
And he looks like a beast. So, he's going to be the same Byram, just a bigger version of Byram.
I love it.
There, add that to the list of spring game coming up in a few weeks. I'm sure we'll touch on that on a future episode of Bullseye. This one, as it was pretty special, pretty packed, worth doing it on. No sleep for any of us, but that's kind of how it is. They say you can sleep in April. Thanks for listening. For Kaylee Cottrell and for Joey Johnston, I'm Derek Sharp. Keep those horns up.